My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, and he's the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. We want to get his reaction to Friday's decision from the Supreme Court that it will, in fact, hear cases related to the definition of marriage. First of all, the case from California, in which the courts there declared the vote of the people from 2008 unconstitutional when they decided marriage was, in fact, legally speaking, the union of one man and one woman. They're also going to take up whether the Defense of Marriage Act, passed by a wide margin in Congress and signed by President Clinton back in the mid-1990s, remains constitutional. And Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
I remember when we were talking specifically about the California case a number of months ago that you were not super excited about the possibility of this case heading to the Supreme Court. What's your reaction now that it is going there?
Well, certainly I'm pleased that California is not going to have same-sex marriage. But also, on the other hand, I'm never comfortable with the Supreme Court on issues such as this because you never know what they will do. And we saw this with Obamacare. And, of course, going back 40 years roughly, we saw this in 1973 with abortion. So, you know, if they were following the rule of law and the Constitution, no question, it's a no-brainer. The Constitution clearly does not sanction same-sex marriage, nor does it prohibit a state from passing a constitutional amendment like California did that affirms the definition of marriage. But this is the Supreme Court, and these are justices that don't necessarily find themselves adhering to the rule of law, at least some of them. And consequently, you have to have a bit of concern when you go up to the high court on this issue.
There have been some reports suggesting that the justices will probably look for a less landmark-type ruling than we certainly saw from Roe v. Wade. They don't want that hanging necessarily on their legacy, so they'll perhaps wiggle out on based on standing of the people involved in the case or advise on some smaller issues rather than having some overarching decision that affects all 50 states and so forth. What do you expect?
Well, they certainly gave themselves a way out in both the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, the section that defines marriage as one man and one woman for purposes of federal benefits, not the full faith and credit clause issue that protects one state from being forced by another state to recognize same-sex marriage. They raised the issue of standing in that case. That was not part of the question presented. They added that question saying that, does the U.S. House have standing to continue to pursue this appeal? In the Proposition 8 case in California, they asked the question that was not raised, and they're going to have this before them as well. Does the Proposition 8 backer or the initiative backer have standing to pursue this appeal? Here's what they could do. On both of them, they could knock them out on standing and never reach the merits of Proposition 8 or the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, saying that neither the House has standing to bring this up, and neither do the initiative backers in California have standing. What that would mean would be this. That would leave in California only the district court decision, which is for the Northern District of California. So only the northern part of California would be under this ruling. The central and southern part of California would not, and certainly it would not go across the borders of California. Taking this issue now in New York, you would have only the Southern District of California, that district governed by this particular ruling. That's New York City and some of those southern areas, but not the central or the northern part of New York. So these decisions, if they were dismissed on standing, would be left at the district court level. The reason being is because that's where the litigation ultimately was with regards to the federal government in the DOMA case or the state government in the Proposition 8 case, and neither one of them wanted to appeal. So the proposition backers in Prop 8 carried it up on the appeal channel, and the U.S. House then voted to carry it up and defend it through the appeals channel for the DOMA. That would make an odd situation, but it would certainly limit the impact of this decision.
We're talking with Matthew Staver of Liberty Counsel and Liberty University. And Matt, it's obviously not the point of the court for the justices to be checking the political wins here. Prior to November 6th, traditional marriage was 32-0 on ballots across the country. But this November 6th, things did not go that way. Three states ratifying gay marriage legislation that had already existed, and one in Minnesota denying a constitutional amendment to enshrine traditional marriage in the state constitution. So do you think that these potentially shifting political winds will influence the court at all?
Well, they shouldn't have anything to do with it, but we know that these are justices, and some of them, for example, don't necessarily follow what I consider the rule of law. They actually are ends result oriented, and they don't necessarily adhere to the constitutional text. If we did have justices that did that across the board, there would be no problem with this case or any of these other cases going up. You just interpret the law. So some of these justices, no doubt, may ultimately put their finger up in the air. If they did, they certainly would see that the vast majority, 31, 32 states, have passed constitutional marriage amendments. And when you add that to the statutory amendments, you've got over 40 states that have passed these amendments. So clearly, if you're weighing them in the balance, the majority of states ultimately win, not what we just saw in November. That may be a blip on the radar screen. In particular, those particular cases are going to come back for more issues with regards to initiatives in those states.
Matt, if the court does decide to go big on this, are you of the opinion that there's four votes in favor of legalizing gay marriage already on the court, and then it's just a matter of whether they can find one more, potentially Justice Kennedy, who wrote the majority opinion in the Lawrence v. Texas case?
Yeah, that's what I think is what we have. We've got four people on the Supreme Court with one swing vote, and that's why I'm not real excited about taking this up there and having the very essence of our society, the first form of government, marriage as a union of one man and one woman, that has huge impact, decided by one swing vote. That's concerning to me, and it should be concerning to everybody.
So the arguments, I believe, are slated for the spring and a decision by June. What will you be looking for, as I assume it's Mr. Clement who will be arguing this again at the court, is that right?
Well, he'll argue the Federal Defense of Marriage Act case, and then probably Charles Cooper will be arguing the one out of Proposition 8. And he's been somebody who's argued before the United States Supreme Court before. But we'll have two people that have argued before. They're very familiar with the United States Supreme Court oral arguments, and these will be big cases, no doubt about it.
We'll certainly be watching, and as always, we appreciate your time and your analysis. Matt, great to have you with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He's also the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.